Welcome everybody to the Provise Project. It's your boy Supervise. Just want to give a massive shout out and thank you to all the Patreons, to all the producers that helped me out. Thank you so much. Today on the podcast, we have Mark Hunt, the ex-UFC K1 Grand Prix champion, straight out of South Auckland. We talk about everything from his days in UFC to his days in Pride. We even go back as far as his upbringing in South Auckland. Mark is the man, straight up. It was funny, just the way that this interview kind of happened. But anyway, thank you all for your support. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks.
Brother Mark Hunt, bro, fucking hey, how are you, cuss?
Not bad.
Eesh. Far, bro, thank you first and foremost for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy dude, bro, so you know, bro, let's just get started. What the fuck was that dude doing, fucking taking a photo of you in front of the courthouse?
No idea, man. I don't know what's up with that, but hey, man, if he's willing to put me on and put a shadows on. Oh my shit, you know, I'll put him up on blast. Fuck it.
Bro, you're undefeated on Instagram, bro. Like, fuck, I love, bro, every time. You just don't give a fuck. You're just like, nah, this is what's going to happen. And, bro.
Bottom line is, why would I? I mean, shucks, my life ain't all fucking roses and an oil painting. My shit's all fucked up like everyone else's. So, you know, why not just cut the fucking chase and say it how it is.
Bro, so I wanted to bring you on, bro. We're doing South Auckland, man. That's my home. I'm trying to bring it up, you know, because a lot of shit goes down in South Auckland that nobody knows about. And yesterday, bro, when you hit me up and you're like, yeah, let's do it, bro, I spent the whole night reading your book, bro. And I read it a little bit, but I was like, okay, I better go through it. Holy fuck, bro. Your journey needs to be a movie. For legit. So out of Mangere, right? Is that where you were kind of brought up?
Pretty much Old Papatoa, just across the road. It's only a street across the road to where I was.
And so growing up, it's out south, man. I know that it was a long time ago because you spent some time in Samoa as well. But when you came back, bro, to South, bro, what was South Auckland like in the 80s?
Well, I was actually a lot of the Polynesians went into the city there, stayed in the city first before we all moved out south. So it was actually all brand new. There was a brand new housing. I actually don't even remember the year that we moved out from the city.
So it was because a lot of factory workers they came over from the islands and sort of that was in the 70s and shit like that. So was that mum and dad were in the factories and stuff?
I don't know. My dad and mum, I remember in the city that just give me bacon and eggs, extra bacon, really crispy, no bread. Just make it fried or some shit, yeah. Yep. Yeah, so my dad used to hang around because our cousin used to have a pool hall in the city there. I think my dad worked at a factory out when he moved out south, to be honest. So, and my mum was a machinist and she worked two jobs, what I remember. So,
Barty, did you play a lot of spaces back in those days?
Yeah, of course, a lot of spaces. My friend had the Atari.
Oh
yeah, can I have a large flat white? Yeah, my friend Jonah, he's half Tongan, he's half white. Yeah, I met him in school. He's the one that brought over the Atari to first play with. So that's the first time I started getting into these video games, and then progressed on there to coin machines. You know, the Kung Fu Master and Street Fighter and shit like that, and wiring those games up.
I was gonna say, bro, how did you wire them up, bro? Did you get the old coat hanger or the old?
We used the fishing line. We used to use those, the fishing line, with the hook on the end. You just.
Well, I found out. I kept stealing those plastic coins from school. You know those ones that use for maths, and they'd never work, but they would work on the lolly ones. Fuck, bro! I used to go hearty. But did you play some Streety? Street Fighter was your game back in there?
Yeah, we used to play a lot of that. It was down the local the shop, and we just hammered it hard. It was fun as.
Fuck. was Jono the bro that did the old double happy in that karate class? What happened there, bro?
I don't think it was Jono. I think I forgot who was with me. But you know, we're just young kids and just you know, AO College was the whole we used to live around the corner and they used to do kung fu there every morning. Not every morning, every Saturday, but we were just up there creeping around and yeah, decided to chuck in the old double happy in the hall and then you got a hiding for it.
Did they all come after you?
Yeah, man, they freaking caught us trying to jump the fence. We took off because it's really loud.
Fucking hell.
You know, lucky they didn't give us the beats. I could have taken the whole 20 of them anyway, I thought.
Bro, they're all in those geese and they're like, fucking coming after you.
Yeah, I think they were like a Kakushin maybe, or I don't know what art they were doing back then, but they were all in the white geese.
Bro, was Bruce Lee like a massive like influence for you, bro, growing up?
Yeah, he was, you know. In the islands of Samoa in the little freaking room, I think it was. I thought it was massive when I was little, but we had the picture theater going, I mean the projector going, and you know, it was quite exciting. But Bruce Lee was the man back then. He still is the man right now, so you know.
Bro, you reckon if in his prime, bro, and I'll hit you with this one, you reckon, bro, he'd beat any fucking UFC lightweight or whatever?
I think if the times are different, maybe if he did a lot of the ground stuff, yeah, of course. I just think, I mean, even though he's an actor and all that sort of jazz, I just still think he had, you know, a lot of the, a lot of charisma, to be honest. But I think he was great, you know, and who knows, but if MMA was in back then maybe, of course, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, bro, fuck, mean. Bro, did you used to work at Mobile G?
I worked at a petrol station across the road from the courthouse in Otahoo, yeah.
Oh, bro, I know which one that is. Oh, yeah. Oh, I shouldn't, but I do. I do. But, what do you, bro, did you get into, was bakeries around back in those?
Yeah, bakeries are around, yeah, of course.
Bro, what's your favourite bakery, bro?
Well, I used to like all the bakeries, bro, you know, the steak and cheese pies, everything.
Bro, Aussie pies are shit take compared to Kiwi pies, let's be honest.
I don't know, man. There's actually a shop where I live in Campbelltown. It used to be called, what were they called, Jules? The pie shop down the road. They were called Stockhead Pies, man. You know, they were fucking amazing pies. And I used to go eat them by the shitloads because I'm a pig. But what's so funny is that whole shop got busted because they were dealing coke. it was actually ice. So they were fucking giving ice in the pies. I was fucking laughing.
No wonder why you fucking was going hearty on the mesh.
No wonder why the pies are fucking mint.
Oh, so there's no fucking icing on the old fucking custard square, bro.
They got done big time, man. They got done big time.
Shit, fucking hell. So, bro, moving on, bro, from like those days where you came up with an old DTM, bro. Like, is that where it started, bro, when you got in trouble outside? Of that whole DTM, and then that was it.
That's correct.
Wow. That would have changed, bro. That changed a lot, right?
Yeah, it's changed a lot from when I was. Yeah, and I was only still younger, I think it was. I just got out of prison and I, you know, got into the usual altercation as a stupid teen with the rest of the boys and ended up being a good turn in my life with, you know, meeting Sam, him, you know, putting me in the Muay Thai fight that week, I think it was the following weekend or week, in that same club.
So and then, sorry, bro.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bro, you had like your first fight, like 4 days, right? He like pulled you out, helped you get away from the cops, and then he was like, nah, bro, you're gonna fight.
Well, he didn't say, he said, would you like to think you're tough? And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm the fucking toughest. He goes, oh, you wanna fight? And I said, yeah, I wanna fight. Didn't even know what it was, but I was always for, yeah, of course. And then I, you know, got my head tested my first Muay Thai fight. I was like, "Oh, this is kind of crazy because you know it's nothing like no street fight because you know those probably don't even last 5 seconds, 10 seconds." But an actual proper organized fight was quite cool.
And that was when you,
that's
when you knew, bro, this is what I'm going to do. Or no,
well, it's not. I didn't know then. I just, you know, Yeah, well, it's not that I knew that I was going to do that. I just knew I was going to do something. I just actually thought footy was my my thing. I was not too bad at playing footy. But I guess fighting was a lot better at fighting than that.
Because you played with, did you play with Ruben Wiki?
Yeah, with Wiki, with all the Joe Vergara, all those guys, yeah.
Fuck.
Well, not at their level, though, because, I mean, we only played in the Auckland team. They were on the Junior Kiwis, you know, the Henry Paul era and Stacey Jones.
Yep. Bro, did David Tua fight play as well?
Yeah, he played in our Mangarees footy team for one season before he went and started doing proper boxing and stuff. So, chasing the dream, I'd say. But, yeah, I mean, we had the... When I played, Gus Malietoa Brown was playing. There was, all the... Jerry Siusiu, all these, Henry Paul. Yeah, it was quite a good year, man.
So the bro was like, so the coach was kind of like, you know what, bro, like, you got into too much trouble. Nah, go find something else. That must have been a fucking kick to the balls, G.
Well, it wasn't that go find something else. It was hard to even get a trial in the Auckland team because I just got out of jail. But I think back then it was all these politics, to be honest. And, I mean, it teaches you a lot, especially with going in. I had my only one season playing in the Auckland team, and first thing you learned, and there was you needed something to fall back on in case of injury and shit. They make that clear, and I'm like, what is he talking about? I didn't realize that till later. So I remember we were playing in the Mangarees team. Jerry Sears, he left our team playing. It was only junior footy, but he left the team for a couple of years and studied. You're a smart man.
Yeah, because Joe Vangana was he's a money deal legend. That guy,
big boy. Yeah, big boy. Yeah. He fucking still owes me like $500 million fucking dollars in sweepy. The prick. I should go and collect off his ass.
Like he was at school with he wasn't at school with me, but he was 7th form when I was 3rd form, mate. Everyone fucking sucked on that dude's nut, bro.
Oh, bro, he's a fucking gun player. That's why he's big dog. he was big though. He was creaming everyone. Yeah. He was like, he reminded me, was similar to a guy named Malasala, bro. Malasala, bro.
I know Malasala.
Bro, Malasala was a fucking mantis, bro.
Malasala works with my mum, bro. He works for the police.
Oh, bro, damn. Yeah, he was killing it back in the days. Him and Solomai, one of my friends. And man, bro, those two were like monsters back in the day.
Bro, I'm going to talk to Mal about this, bro. He's the man, bro.
Malasala was like the fuck, bro. He was just like, ooh. Tackling that guy with his massive legs, like, fuck that guy's huge.
Bro, Mal used to do online courses, bro, for, like, cutting up pigs for the umu, bro.
Oh, you're kidding. Damn.
Bro, straight up. And he used to, like, just teaching them how to properly do it and get all the bad shit out.
Oh, no.
He's the man, bro. Fuck,
he
could have
been the fucking, bro. Yeah, I thought he was going to be the massive player in footy.
I think like, Mel's son is up there too. Now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when Ruby Wiki got signed to Canberra, that's why I started following Canberra, because he's one of my favorite players. Like, man, Ruby was like the man, you know? And that's why Canberra became one of my favorite teams to watch. The big, Paul Surinan, fucking Fatty Roach, Paul Vorden,
Mal Meninga.
Locker Roach, Mal Meninga, Ruth Mayer, all those guys. Chicka Ferguson. Fuck.
Going back.
Trevor Gilmeister. Bro, remember that hit you put on Paul Surinan at the other sideline?
Nah, I'm going to fucking YouTube that shit.
He smashed him, man. It saved the game, bro.
Oh, shit. Bro, yeah. Fuck, man. Like, so league was like there, and you're like, oh, nah, maybe I'll do something else. And then this just popped up. And then,
it wasn't maybe I could do something else. It just wasn't, I just didn't get it. It wasn't good enough, I don't think. I mean, I thought it was good enough, but they didn't think it was probably good enough, to be honest. So, well, you know how I think about those. They think I'm not good enough.
Fucking A. We'll talk about that next. Bro, yeah. K1 was the shit, yo. I got to be honest. Nobody knew you, like, in New Zealand. And then there was this 2020 piece about you. Then everybody was like, oh, yeah, that's fucking, that's our Kiwi brother. I was like, ah, fuck. I was only
that 20, that was that 60 Minutes piece, right?
That's the one, yeah.
Right. That really ripped me up, bro. That was terrible because... That was supposed to be done by an independent crew, and my manager at the time, his name was Dixon. He went and did it with 60 Minutes because I think it got more. I don't know what he got out of it. He got a lot more than what it was supposed to get from them.
Yeah.
But they made me painted me into a really bad image, And I'm like, motherfuckers, bro.
But the pro Dixon kind of fucked you over, didn't he?
Well, he fucked a lot of people over. He was just a fucking rodent, that little prick was.
Oh, bro. Japan fucking loved you though, eh?
Yeah, because they kind of looked at me like, this is this fat guy, and he's kind of weird looking. He looks like an Asian, and he's kind of fucking kicking all these guys' asses. And where did he come from? He doesn't even train that much. He talks about training really less. He fucking, he's after money all the time. Fucking oath. That's why they like me, that I guess. Well, he's kind of really honest and pretty much that's why we like him.
Yeah, and like, bro, do you reckon that they loved you more than fucking New Zealand did, bro?
Oh, my God.
I'd say so, yeah. They paid a lot better than New Zealand. New Zealand didn't give me shit.
Fucking A. Bro, like, man, that Crow Cop fight was... Bro, what? Bro, when he had the shoes on and he just kept fucking throwing that shit... Bro, that was, like, was crazy, bro. Like, but there was a lot of hype behind that fight.
Nah, he was just a shit cunt, bro. Fuck, another cheater. Well, smashed him up, bro.
Like, you fought a lot of cheaters, eh?
Yeah, got off, you know.
Overeem, fucker, that dude. Bro, there's a lot of fucking cunts that got smacked for that shit, but never like little fucking tap on the shoulder. Hey, don't do that anymore.
Well, that's why we're in a couple. That's why I'm in these two lawsuits against this company, because all they do is promote cheaters. And you know, bottom line is that what they're doing is criminally wrong. They, it's a, they need to be punished for it. If someone dies against a cheater, it should be, you know, criminal proceedings instead of civil. It's fucking, what do you want, Bob? You want to, it's actually really shit, man. These guys are just terrible how they're doing. And I learned that being in this company, how they've done their whole business practice is just crooked. And they still do it to this day.
Yeah.
Well, nothing is going to change for these guys at all.
Nah. Hey, go back to Pride, bro. Was Pride fucking dirty, bro?
I don't know, man. I mean, like I said, you're talking to someone that's green, came from fucking K1, you know, went from a 1,000-seater arena to a 40,000-seater arena and to the big time. I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of crazy. Yeah. So I'm green here. I don't know how this whole scenario works. I'm just, you know, getting the right people to guide you is kind of, it's kind of even daunting as well, because everyone's trying to make a buck off you. And, you know, everything else is going sideways. But, you know, who knows?
Bro, because it seemed like there was some shady shit going on. Because
even like the first time I went there, you know, I sat in a room full of Yakuza, right? Well, I thought they were just kind of weird. Well, maybe that's just how the Japanese do their business meetings, but there was a shitload of people at a massive board meeting table. And here's my black ass. I was talking to them and said, oh, what's up, everyone? And, you know, and then you know, my first question out of my mouth was, you know, what are you guys going to do about these fucking steroid shooters? And they just looked at me like and started laughing. I said, that's why we signed this guy, because he's fucking straight up.
And they respect that, though. Like, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, I ain't no fucking sidewinding fucking snake, you know? You talk to me, hey, you talk to everyone. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I'll tell you how I feel about you if I don't like you. So, you know, vice versa. It's the usual shit.
The fight that's, game.
I think you learned that from South Auckland, not to be hard. A snake.
Hard. And you can, like, fucking smell the eat asses, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you learn that shit as you're growing up. You get streetwise. And I grew up on the streets, you know, homeless at 8, hiding in the trees at 8. So, you know what I mean? It's, you know much anyway. Yeah.
Bro, it's funny. Like, I heard this quote from you, bro. You're like, yeah, I was hiding in the trees at 8, but then there was, like, dudes in Africa with AKs at 8. So yes. It's not so bad.
Yeah, we're lucky at this side of the world, though. The comparison is totally... Chalk and cheese is different, you know. A lot of people mention me on my fan page and talk about, you know, how rough and all this shit. I got it. You know, I don't understand. I can't judge your story and all, but how rough it is. But what I can tell you is that, you know, I know people, well, people, their stories out there. I mean, Deng, I mean, already a child soldier from Sudan, his story is far more in a different league, you know. I mean, because on that side of the world, they're shooting motherfuckers at that age, you know. They're taking about 8. They're fighting their war about 10 with AKs. We're lucky we just get into fist fights and punch each other in the head. Over there, they're losing fucking eyes and dying. So we're very blessed to be and lucky to be this side of the world. You know, I mean, don't ever complain to people like me about they've got it rough, because there's always someone that's got it way, way rougher, you know. When you meet them, you talk to him, he's like, you know, because he's a lawyer now, and he's like, and he's an advocate for the government, for the Sudanese refugees, and he's like, man, he's a great dude to talk to, and he just... You know, for instance, I tell you this story. We're having this, him and Ben were having dinner, and some crime happened in Sydney, you know. And he looked at me and said, Mark, I don't know why they didn't just kill them. I'm thinking, well, you know, because they don't kill people here. It's just not normal here, dude. Where you're from, they just shoot motherfuckers. You're like, yo, a bullet, someone's life costs 20 cents. So that's the difference in where we live and where they live. So we're lucky. So, you know, a lot of the people I do. Reach out to me on my page and talk about how rough it is. I just say, well, you know, I understand that. you know, have a look at this guy's book. Please read this guy's book. His name is Dengadut, and he's only one of them. So his story is called The Songs of a War Boy. And that's, that, my friend, is something to really say, you know, be thankful where you are and be happy where you are. Otherwise, you could be somewhere else.
Yeah, because it's funny, like, people bring up Once War Warriors all the time, eh? And I'm like, fuck, bro, there's way, like, it's a bad story, don't get me wrong. But shit, there's some fucking horrible stories.
There's no comparison, bro. Honestly, there's always someone that's got it way worse than what you have or what you think you have. So count your blessings, man, and be happy the Almighty's actually put you there and you're still breathing.
I say that to my kids all the time. I was like, man, you could be like, there's like slaves in the middle of like Africa that are getting sold, little kids over here don't want to eat your food. Get it out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Eat your greens.
Hey, man, I totally understand. But, you know, for my kids, man, I just say they can have whatever they want. I want them to be kids as long as they can be.
Hard. But, bro, coming back to Pride, bro, like, Vandalay, eh? Like, fuck, he was on some shit, eh?
I don't know what he was on, but I got a good deal from that fight, that's for sure.
Bro, that fight was fucking, that one that you won?
Yeah, that's the one that started me seeking more money all the time. I was like, fuck, how did I get this deal? Fuck, that's the best deal ever. Yeah, what a sick cut.
Because, like, bro, you look surprised when you won that shit. You were like, holy fuck, really?
Well, I mean, because look, man, I'm not the champion of Pride. You know, he's the champion. And normally being a hometown boy, I mean, regardless of this, it just shows that, you know, you put in a good fight. Like I said, I look surprised. But the thing is, I'm thinking, because he's the champion, you know, and being him being a lighter guy than me, all the fans wanted to see him fight. You know, I'm thinking, oh, maybe they just, you know, something went wrong there because that was kind of a close fight. You know, he did a lot of takedowns, even though I heard him snoring at one stage when I knocked his teeth out. But it could have gone either way. I mean, he wouldn't stand a chance now against me, but, you know, I was actually, that's the reason why I looked surprised.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, dude, did they just give me their win? Oh, this guy has undefeated in like how many years?
That was his first loss in Pride.
They must want his pay packet to go down.
Bro, what about that Fedor fight, bro? You nearly had that cat. You had him on the fucking Kimura.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it was a bad camp. We weren't getting nothing. Still inexperienced, you know, learning that shit. But it's good to share the ring with royalty, you know. Fedor is one of the great fighters, champs. I think he's one of the greatest fighters ever, honestly. And he's a good dude. To go. He's a really awesome guy.
He seems like a nice dude. Her man is
I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
I was in the lobby signing autographs for the fans, right? You know, because like a few of them. And as soon as Fedor came down, I saw one of them looking over. There's like 30 of them. I saw the fan. He was looking. And I said, oh, it must be someone. I looked around and Fedor was there. And he was actually telling them to not to come over. You know? Oh. Because imagine, I mean, shit. That's hectic. That's the, I was thinking, fuck. You could have, you know, the whole lot of them would just sprint it over and let me stand at the bottom of my deck. But that's how cool that guy is, you know what I mean? Even after our fight, he goes, oh, man, you want to go? We have vodka. I've got vodka for us. I was like, oh,
man. Did you go?
Nah, I should have went. I was a bit, had other things organized at that time. You know what I mean?
Fuck, bro. Party time in Japan would have been fucking dope, bro.
It was quite good. I mean, I loved, I mean, going out hanging. First time I hanged out with Ray and them, those guys just like run the whole place. It was quite cool.
Yeah, because Ray is kind of like a reoccurring person in your life, eh? Like even when you're growing up, you fought against Ray and that.
It was I mean, the best hang out with the best, that's for sure.
Well, that's true. Look at this right now, bro.
Oh, fuck. No doubt.
Fuck. Bro, did you ever want to give old Bob Sepp a hiding?
Well, look, I for money, there's a lot of things I can do. But Bob is a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a really smart guy.
Is that like a fucking thing that he puts on, bro? Is that like a character that he puts on?
Of course, he's very smart.
That's very smart, eh?
He's one guy that said to me, he told me this thing. And I never forget it. It stays with me even now. He's like, you know, Mark, the life of a fighter, man, when you're up, that's when you save money. When you're up. And you're always working, you're making money. Because you know there's a downtime coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's smart.
That's really smart. And like, yeah, because he has this public persona, like he was like, I don't know, like lazy, and when he fought the Nogueiras and shit like that, and it was like, oh, fuck, but bro, like, that's cool to know that he's not like that.
No, we did pro wrestling together in Japan. He's a good dude.
You did pro wrestling in Japan?
Yeah.
Fuck, how was that? Was that with, like, the big dudes, like the real shit?
Yeah, it was with Akebono, Bob Sapp, Tiger Jeet Singh. We did this. So Akebono, if you know who he is, he's a former Yokozuna, Grand Yokozuna. He's like 6'7" or something, big guy. And he's like in the story of wrestling, he's a 1 year old, and he's like, you know, he's massive, but he's 1 year old. And my story is I come in with my Hawaiian shirt with all the jewelry and everything else. I'm like a bad influence. I get into gamble, smoke, and do drugs. You know, it's a crazy story. But and his mum is like a real skinny, evil some lady, and it's quite funny.
Oh, fuck, that's hilarious, bro. Shit. Man, it used to crack me up, especially at K1 when they pulled you, when they came, like, they on your entrance, and they had all these Maldives doing the haka, and I was like, ah, fucking hell. Like, that was that, when they get some dudes to do the Siva and shit like that.
Oh, no, that was paying respects to, you know, my homeland. New Zealand is where I was born, you know what I mean?
So. Yeah, okay. Yeah, bro. Far out.
So, nothing like, wrong with that, bro.
Nothing. Oh, chair, bro. So when you came, like, from K1, bro, and you did some dream stuff, and then you went to the UFC, bro, like, fuck, what was that like in terms of, like, the stage of it?
Well, it's different because it's more of a show in Japan. I mean, the show's now in UFC a lot bigger because it's more mainstream, but it was different because when I was first in Japan and stuff, I was new to that. When I went to the States and was fighting, it was like, oh, it's a different audience. The Westerners like us, you know, go nuts if they see someone fucking drop coke in there. I mean, whereas the Japanese are quiet until they see someone getting pummeled to the days. And then they go, yeah, we love this shit.
Oh, fuck. Because, like, the first fight that you came out, bro, like, I was watching that and I was like, yeah, fucking Mark Hunt, let's go. And then that shit didn't go the way that, I don't know, it was the ground game was a bit different, right? You didn't, I don't know.
Well, 2 years out of fighting, my first time fighting Dawson. You know, no excuses, the guy still got me, but basic jiu-jitsu drills. I mean, you can't catch up with what these guys know in 20 years. You know, I was a white belt fighting black belts.
Yo, fuck. Hell, and then, like,
I mean, I had some good trainers. I had Steve Ollo, I had Marcelo. I had some good ground guys. It was hard to get accustomed to the ground being, you know. And when, you know, a stand-up guy starts going to do stuff, ground stuff with the jiu-jitsu guys, you'll understand. They totally understand how it is. It's like a fish out of water, man. Yeah.
Well, like, bro, you did a great job in terms of, like, catching up because, fuck, bro, after that match, it was kind of like, okay, I kind of got it. Was that Steve Oliver? He was just the man?
Well, like I said, I had some great guys I work with. Steve and Marcelo,
Bro, Steve does some great job out south, bro. He's the man.
Yeah, but Steve is, runs the jiu-jitsu. It's pretty good. It's good to see jiu-jitsu and MMA grow so far in this side of the world.
I was in Papatoa. I was at Alan Brewster, the rec center there. Uh-huh, and bro, you came. And bro, we had games on. It was serious games, bro. Yeah. And then you came and you stood upstairs and you said some shit and everyone stopped everything we were doing just to go, hey, fucking Mark. I was like,
what did I say? What are you fuckers doing?
Yeah, what the fuck is this shit?
Really?
I think you were talking to somebody else and everyone was like, fuck, it's Mark. Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when's the last time you've been out? Was that the last time you've been out?
I think so. My sister and brother still live there, you know. Yeah,
yeah. And bro, do you ever come home and you just come back to when you do come back out to South Auckland? Do you ever just go, Faber, I remember this place. I remember this place, and just do a tour. Totally. You took your kids out? Have you took your kids back home?
Totally, a lot.
Bro.
Yeah, it's sometimes depressing for me going back there, seeing that, but it makes me appreciate you know, the kids these days.
Yeah, and bro, like, did you ever hit up Rainbow's End, bro? Was that where you took the old?
Yeah, took the kids.
Took kids, bro. It's fucking depressing. That place is depressing as. It's more depressing there than anywhere else. Shit. Anyway, bro, these are the silver fights, bro, just to go through those. Fuck, were you pissed off that you won that? It was a draw in that first match?
That one, I could have gone either way. I don't know. I was happy it was a draw. I mean, it just, like I said, it was a hard fight. I did my usual trying to make weight. But it was a hard fight. I mean, I got hurt a few times. I mean, I got dropped in the first round. I broke my hand, which I knew something was wrong with it, in the second round, I think it was, or third. But it was a hard fight. You know, I trained with Bigfoot and I call him, they call him Paisan. He's Brazilian. So I trained the American top team in Florida with Bigfoot and all the boys. Cartel, Guga. Oh, no, Cartel, Bahumpa. Hector. There's a lot of good guys I trained with that when I was training in Florida. So he's a nice guy at the end of the day. Mm.
But the second fight, you got him, mate.
Oh, because I wasn't... I had a great camp. You know, I went to Thailand for the first time. And not the first time, but... I went to help Big Saw for his camps. And then started doing my camps, which is... I had a great camp there with Mike Swick and the boys at AKA. Amazing wrestling guys. Dude, I got pumped that training camp, man. I got pumped big time.
Shit.
I got smashed up every day. I had like all my boys. I had Ty, I had all the young guys, Carlos, all those boys, the tougher boys. It was a really hard camp for me. I got beat up continuously. I'm like, man, I wonder why. I knew I should have got a fucking winter school probably.
I mean,
who the fuck wants to be getting punched in the lips by all these fucking niggas all the day, every day? Fuck.
Oh shit, nobody. I can't fucking give you nobody that would like that shit. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's what it's like. People think, I love fighting or training. They're bra. Have you been in the deep waters of the fucking hell, bro?
Because there's all those eat-ass, dudes that go, I love training camp. Bro, that's all shit. A lot of them are all shit, eh?
No, it's very hard, man. I can tell you that. It's very hard. It's very physically and emotionally draining, especially when you get into the fight side of it with all the boys. I mean, you got to have a good guys to help you out there with training. Otherwise, man, you're just going to get guys to try and torture you, bro. If you don't have a good camp, bro, you'll never make it to the octagon or the ring to make money.
Fuck.
Bro, like, you'll always be injured.
Well, the other thing too, bro, is that like, bro, you never lost to the same person twice, eh? That's what, well, I think the only one was Overeem, but that was all shit. You know, that was fucking...
But he's a cheater, bro. I mean, all these cheaters, they just... You know, and they fought in that last fight with Overeem. They forced me to fight that dickhead.
Oh, fuck, bro. Yeah, like I said before, you fought a lot of dudes that just fucking notorious for cheating.
But those ones before that fight with Alistair Overeem, they wanted me to fight a guy called Josh Barnett.
Because you fought him before.
And Josh Barnett, I said, bro, nah, he's not. I'm not fighting. He's a cheater. And he's like, now you got to fight him. I said, I'm not fighting. They keep bugging me about it. And I said, okay, I'll fight him. But you got to put a clause in him. So if he caught cheating, take off all his funds. Don't give it to me. Just take it off. I want to make a sale. But they said, no, we're not going to put the clause in. And then 2 days later, the guy pops and I started laughing. He's nah, fuck you, motherfuckers. And then guess what? They come back with a dickhead named fucking Alistair Overeem and said, we want you to fight this guy. I said, oh, God damn it. This guy is even worse to cheat than this other dickhead. I said, okay, put the, you know, the same after a few weeks of back and forth. I said, put the clause in. Give me the clause. He said, nah, can't do it. But then they sent me a letter saying, we're going to fucking alleviate you. We're going to alleviate you from your senses, your contract, and you're not going to, we're going to fire your ass. And I said, aha, so you're forcing me to fight. Yep. So then I just dropped the lawsuit and took the fight. They're just scumbags. And even with their fight, when I lost the fight, the guy was, you know, we weren't allowed to have IVs. And guess what? That dickhead Dana White's giving him IVs because they're covering up that steroid monkey's fucking shit. Cheating, like, mother. You know, they said he had food poisoning. Bullshit. The guy's a fucking cheater. Worst. No, these guys are terrible, man. Honestly, they're the most corrupt motherfucking company running business. And you know what's sad thing about it? All these other fighters that are in it now, I'm pretty sure they know what's going on. This thing is easily remedied to fix this company up. They'll have no ideas what's going on. They'll be like, oh, shit.
then they have to come to the table and try and talk about it.
Bro, when they put that Brock fight to you, bro, were you just like, what the fuck is this shit?
Bro, I found out the same time everyone found out who I was fighting.
Wow.
And even when they did the corrupt ways, when I said to them, I said on the online, bro, even though this guy's cheating, you look like this, even though I just assumed you were cheating, I said, bro, I'm still going to knock him out. Then I go and message Dana, because of course you're going to say whatever it is to do the fight. I message Dana after that and said, dude, are you guys cheating this? Are you guys testing this cheater, this guy? This guy fucking looks like, you know, on the ship. You guys testing? Yeah, we're testing him every day, Mark. He's the most tested person on the fucking planet. And then guess what happens?
Pops.
They give him the 4-month fucking waiver. I was sitting there going, you motherfuckers. I miss his Dana and like this. Are you serious? You guys said you're testing him. You give him the 4-month buffer. What the fuck is going on? I said, bro. I knew there was a setup there. This is fucked up.
That's some fucking dirty shit.
Yeah, well, they're selling the company, bro. They're all trying to make bank big numbers.
Because after they sold it to China, right? That's when shit started popping off, you know?
I think they sold it to WME.
That's the one.
The management group owned by all those actors and not actors, those athletes, you know, like Serena and Venus Williams, Mark Wahlberg, Tony Robbins, Giselle, all these actual celebrities that own this company and the Royal Dubai family, one of them.
Fuck. And then because I mean, bro, that's their prize and they want to make those people look like Brock and fucking all those cats. They're trying to up them, you know, like, oh yo, fucking look at how good we are. But yeah. But anyway, bro, that Brock Lesnar fight, bro, when you weighed in, bro, were you like, yo, this cat's on some shit?
Dude, I even said that to Dana. I said, bro, this guy's in the normal size. He's not 500 grams heavier than me. This guy's like fucking 130, 140 kilograms or some shit, bro. He was heavy as a motherfucker. I mean, you know, because they didn't even have a public weigh-in, bro. That's how crooked they are. They made it not have a public weigh-in. You couldn't go in when they weighed him in. And they said he weighed 500 grams more than me. And I was like, this bullshit or less. I was like, this is just you guys are just set up motherfuckers, man. I swear to God.
Because you could tell, because he was at some wrestling event.
Yeah, you can look at him. Fat. And you can look at him and say all this shit, but you still wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can just assume someone's on their shit, but the actual truth is, unless you go and take people say that to me all the time, because Mark, you knew he was on this. Well, I said, I assumed he was on it.
Yeah.
I can't really tell you he was on the shit unless I go took blood from him. I mean, it's like all that shit. I don't actually know. And imagine if I actually knew that I was going to sue them, what I said. If I knew that I was going to sue them, then I would have said, okay, then I would have played it a lot differently. I didn't premeditate suing the company. I just was sick of it.
Yeah.
That was the last straw of the camel that broke me, that pissed me off. I was like, you know what? Even after all these guys are cheating, look, for instance, I asked him one time, when the first time someone got caught, I said, oh, what are you going to do about it? You know, this and that. Okay. Next time, what are you going to do about it? I think the third time I broke my hand, I was like, and then I watched the guy fight before me after he got suspended 9 months and I was out for a year. You know, it just didn't make no sense. I was like, this is bullshit. And then they still didn't do anything about it. So, you know, the fourth time they did it, I was like, fuck, I was just getting fed up with it, you know, them forcing me to fight Alistair, then there's Brock Lesnar, horse shit. I just, you know, I think the last 3-4 years out of that company, I was kind of sour. I was kind of upset working for them, you know, and every time we did like scrum week for media before the fights, I just started talking bad shit about them. Well, not talking bad shit about them, just talking the truth.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it was.
The truth about it. That's all. Yeah. There's no way they can put me up for slander or anything, because all I said was the truth. I said, all you've done is what I'm speaking about is the truth. Did you do this? Did you do this? Yes, you did all this.
Yeah. And that's what people love you for, though, Mark, is that you're just honest.
Yeah. Well, you know? He's ready. Well, I won't say that I'm honest. I'm, you know, to that extent, but I'm pretty sure all of us have got some sort of skeletons in our closet. You know, I have been to jail a couple of times, so you know what I mean? I did raise up on the street, so, you know, I'm not to honest to a certain extent. Yeah, of course.
Fuck, bro. I love, bro. When I was reading a book, hey, around stealing Datsuns, bro. Fuck, bro. Yeah, bro.
Datsun 180Bs, cuz.
Bro, with the fucking fork, cuz.
Yeah.
Get that fork, you're good to go, bro.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Oh, man. Hey, just before we go, bro, I got a couple quick questions for you, bro, and then we'll call it in because I know that you're a busy man.
Yeah, sure.
All right, bro. Bro, what's your go-to pie at the bakery, bro?
You get steak and cheese.
Yep. Any others, bro? You're just steak and cheese or nothing?
Steak and cheese and bacon and egg.
Yeah. What's your what's the first piece of chicken that you go to, bro, in the KFC?
The thighs, of course, man. Jeez.
Bro, I don't know, bro. I'm a breast man myself.
I am.
Bro, when people say drumstick, I'm like, what a little fucking soft cock. What?
No, man, it's the thighs, bro.
Okay, bro. Bro, what cartoons did you used to watch, bro? What's your go-to cartoon growing up, Kaz?
Dragon Ball Z.
Yep. Bro, do you have the pineapple on the pizza?
Yeah. When I'm feeling like a bit healthy, I have the pineapple.
Oh, shit. All right, bro, what's the best table tennis player you've ever played against?
Because
I know you're...
I just got beat by Josh Adolai, like, yeah.
Yeah? Any famous people or other fighters that beat you?
Josh is a fighter also. He's a footy player, so...
Oh, okay.
Wow, look at those
beats. So, taxes you also. Yeah, so... Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Josh plays for Wes, and I played with him and his brothers, and, you know, he got me again. I was like, this guy, he's a good player too.
Bro, what's the best Bruce Lee movie for somebody that's never seen?
There's a few, thank you. There's Enter the Dragon, there's The Big Boss, there's plenty of them, bro.
Fuck, bro, there's bringing it back, eh? Bro, who's your Street Fighter character that you always go to?
I love Ken, Ryu, Gal, Akuma, brah.
Brah. Who's the best Street Fighter player that you played against?
Oh man, Reminisce, and his boys, the fucking men, bro. The PTR boys, bro, they're fucking hectic. I was like, oh, these guys are not bad.
Oh shit! What about Mortal Kombat, bro? Because I know you played Mortal Kombat a bit.
Not really. Mortal Kombat, yeah. I was playing with my son. He's quite tough, yeah.
Yeah. Bro, do you reckon that Goku could beat Superman?
Goku? Yeah, bro.
Easy, eh?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, bro.
Have you ever, bro, did you get your Lambo yet or no?
No, not yet, man. One day. Actually, soon.
You reckon?
Soon, bro.
Bro, did you used to be able to do the invisible throws on Street Fighter?
Yeah, of course.
That's the way, is it? All right, bro, if they offered you this fight, bro, Sonny Bill or Paul Gallen, bro, who are you going with?
Well, I'm already fighting Gallen to start with, so yeah.
You are? Fuck, I don't even know that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What about Tyson, bro? What if they gave you Tyson? They said, we'll give you fucking... That would
They already offered me to fight Tyson, but the guy that offered also, like, you're talking about 30 mil, the guy that offered him the money offered me a 30 mil deal with three fights, but he's talking bullshit too, so a lot of people are just telling lies these days, man.
One of those cunts. Just, we'll give you whatever you need.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of fake news around these days.
Hey, it is what it is, brother. It is. Hey, bro, that's me, bro. Hey, I just want to say massive thanks, bro.
You're all good, man. Thanks for having us on your show.